This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Robert Pugsley, a professor at the Southwestern University School of Law in Los Angeles. We want to get his reaction to a report first in the Washington Post that suggests the FBI on more than 4,000 occasions between 2002 and 2006 technically, in illegal fashion, obtained the phone records of American citizens. And we'll talk about why that happened in just a moment. But, Professor, as always, great to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Well, basically what is at work here is that national security letters are required in order to secure the phone records. And a lot of times this would happen after the fact and sometimes with very vague reasonings when specificity is usually required. How big of a breach is this?
I think it's a significant breach, Greg, because basically following September 11th, 2001, of course, the focus was on national security, and shortcuts were taken by the New York office of the FBI, and then later this system of after-the-fact rationale and justification for the searches of the collection of the phone numbers was made, but it was carried on through 2006, and by that time, that normal law and order procedures should have come into play and been followed, and that is the issuance of a subpoena to get the phone records through a court or otherwise some legal justification prior to the act of collection. So the broad theme is national security versus individual civil liberties and the balancing of those two in the context of a fight against terrorist activity in this country and abroad. I think basically the FBI, even some of the higher management level who was calling for these after-the-fact justifications, later denied even making them. But the FBI lawyers developed a legal rationale and strategy for collecting the information in large packets and then after the fact filing letters, but they got even sloppy there and didn't file the letters. So I think it was a major breach in terms of procedure and legality.
Professor, you mentioned the battling the priorities there between individual liberties and national security. Is it just the case that perhaps a better system needs to be in place when folks at the FBI and other government agencies believe information is urgently needed and may not be able to go through what are normally the proper channels?
Sure. I think there should always be exceptions for truly exigent circumstances. But I think what this particular case reported on in the Washington Post shows is that that procedure can be extended to collect names of totally innocent people having no relationship to terrorist investigations. And, in fact, the paperwork can become very sloppy and self-serving, filing after-the-fact rationales for the justification of the securing of the telephone number. So I certainly think exigency has its place in a counterterrorism strategy, including the FBI, but I do think a better system, in fact, the original system, should be in place, and of course the FBI is promising that that will be done from here on out. So I think, again, it's something that can be corrected, should be corrected, and it's a delicate balance between this particular time in history between national security interests and civil liberties guarantees.
Professor, we've kind of, both of us have kind of couched it as competing interests. Some would say that they don't necessarily have to compete. Do you see that either in reality or in the ideal situation that they could work in a mutually beneficial way, or are they just naturally countering each other?
No, I think they could work harmoniously, Greg, if, again, the agencies involved, in this case particularly the FBI, follow the legal rules. I think they're perfectly harmonious. It's only when the rules get lax and slackened and get changed in the very process of collecting this information and in a self-serving manner by the FBI that there becomes a tension between the two. I think they're perfectly harmonious, and obviously at this point in time, I think any realistic person can see and appreciate the need for collecting telephone numbers for national security purposes. It's just the way they do it, and hopefully that will have changed by the time the dust settles on this particular story.
From what we've read today, Professor, do you get the sense that we might already be where, at least close to where we'd like to be, since essentially 2006, early 2007 was the last we saw this happening, at least in a frequent fashion?
Yes, I agree with you, Greg. I think basically they have corrected themselves, and I would give credit to two individuals within the FBI one in the attorney and one in the Special Investigations Division, who worked very staunchly for this. They were concerned about the civil liberties of the individuals that were being violated and made that concern known to their superiors. And I think they deserve enormous respect and commendation for their fighting for civil liberties within the framework of the FBI administration.
Well, Professor, we've talked about these issues a lot over the last decade or so since the war started. I'm sure we'll be talking about it again before long. Thank you, as always, for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Professor Robert Pugsley teaches at the Southwestern University School of Law in Los Angeles. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.